The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lima was first on this bit. Lima today. And in fairness, I want to set this up right. Because Lima started asking this question, I want to say, maybe five weeks ago. Because we keep attacking this Browns team, literally. We keep attacking this situation as if it's just a Deshaun problem or just a coaching problem or just a team construction problem. And so Lima, first on the scene on this one, and set it up again today. Actually, he was in response to our conversation about what a bad loss this would be to the Saints, and that led to Lima putting this one out there again.
I don't think we're nearly as talented as even I thought we were. I think that, like, we in Cleveland, we don't know the players on some of these teams. But as you can see, I think people would much rather be Washington going forward than us. I think people would rather be the Chargers going forward than us. But we have so much talent. I think
they have quarterbacks.
I think they also have young players we don't know. We don't have the young players that other people don't know that are good. Like, I think we just have a bunch of players that are bigger names. Like, David Njoku is a bigger name than a lot of teams have tight ends. He's got 255 yards. We're halfway through the year. He's going to have a terrible production year. I think at this point, other teams
have... Well, he's injured and he's had bad quarterbacks thrown to him.
Sure. Okay. I mean, but are we paying attention to other guys on other teams like that? No. We keep saying we're more talented than all these teams. Are we? Doesn't talent win out sometimes? It hasn't.
So I do want to give Lima credit because this has been a pretty consistent point that he's had. And I've had this creeping realization. And I don't know that this is a theory. This is not a fact. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they're not talented. I just wonder if the talent they do have is getting too old and too injury prone on top of a disastrous quarterback situation.
Okay, I like that you put it that way because I didn't know that a lot of people are living with the idea that this team was loaded with talent still. Like, on the offensive side of the ball, at least. On the defensive side of the ball, I think we see a lot of talent. And maybe that's where we skew towards the defense, and then we skew towards, you know, Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and JOK and all these guys that we think are just awesome. And legitimately, in those three players' instances, are. But offensively, I mean, Nick, I think, 2 weeks ago, we had a whole conversation about how I think I put the wide receiver group at 25th in the NFL after the Amari Cooper trade. We have no running game right now. Maybe Nick Chubb ends up getting back to old form, but right now we have no running game. And the offensive line was supposed to be a top five offensive line in the sport. It looks like a bottom five offensive line in the sport. Like, you couple that all together, I don't know that I see talent everywhere.
So, I think it's a really tough point. It's the right point to ask the question. But it's a tough point to have the right answer because recency bias will just tell everyone, no, they suck and they're awful and screw this team.
Yeah, right? It's exactly the thing that Lima did when it came to David Njoku. And I think he was right to point out, like, if you wanted to, you could look at Njoku having 250 yards and you're like, well, the production isn't there.
Yeah.
He's not a productive player this year. Outside looking in, you can make a case that David Njoku, not that great, but we know better than that.
Well, and I think that's what makes this whole analysis so interesting. Is last year, this team was good enough to do what they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, they never were. And I don't know, and like, I do think, like, this year tends to be a domino effect. Like, you weren't healthy. You weren't healthy where I think it matters. Like, Dalvin wasn't really ready to play until early September. Your entire offensive line, all three of your tackles, even Dewan, even though he's playing, was not healthy.
Yeah.
Your guards got banged up. Joel clearly is not healthy, hasn't been this year. Ethan Posick, been in and out of the lineup. So, like, is it talent or is it just you're just really injured? And are you injured early in the season? Because last year, if you remember, like, yeah, okay, Nick and Deshaun were injured. And so it gave you this appearance of, well, you're the most injured team, but Miles was healthy. Denzel was healthy for most of the season, but not all the season. JOK was healthy all season. The O-line, at least the internal part of the O-line, was healthy pretty much.
Internal was there because the outside was busted up. We used 11 different linemen last year.
But, like, Amari was healthy. So, like, you had enough health at the right positions. And I actually think, like, I think they kind of rallied around the fact they didn't have a quarterback at some point. Like, I think that became a motivating factor of everybody being like, well, you can't keep doing this. So I think it almost took the steam out. I think this team has succumbed to injuries, a little bit of ego and a little bit of pressure. And then I do think the core is older. So the question is, I don't know if Lime is right or not, but I'm starting to be concerned that if this is your core is just getting older and can't stay healthy, that's where this goes from a one-year retool or whatever we want to, however we're going to try and rebrand it to make everybody look the other way and act like this isn't going to be a rebuild, from an actual rebuild where you do have to tear it down a lot more and it takes you 3 years to get back here.
Yeah, I just think sometimes, though, and this is, I just think sometimes we look at our own guys and then we say, well, they're obviously great or they're obviously way better in our minds than we think. I'll never forget. Well, I mean, at some point I'll forget. I don't know why I always lead up with that. But when I had Matthew Collar on before the season, and obviously the big part of that was him talking about the offense not being great and all this other nonsense. But I remember asking him about MJ Emerson. And this is a guy that not only covers football, he's written football books, okay? Legitimate books on football. And if you ask around the NFL, they'll tell you he's one of the best when it comes to the Vikings, right? All the qualifiers are there. I said, so what do you think about MJ Emerson? I heard he had a really good day at practice yesterday. And he goes, hey, Jonathan, I don't know who that is. I don't know who MJ Emerson is. I'm just not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he looked great when I don't. I don't know who that guy is. And I think MJ Emerson, if you ask a Browns fan, not only would we say we know MJ Emerson, we talk about how much we like MJ Emerson, right, the bad year he's having, everything attached to it, but we could go on before the season got underway about how he's like an up-and-coming great corner, probably going to get a $100 million deal somewhere down the line. All these great things before the season. And a known football guy had no idea who he is. And that's not a shot at Matthew Collar. That's just the reality of it. Like, in our mind, I do think we overrate, or at least we hype up guys like that way too often.
I don't know, because guys who do watch film have called out MJ Emerson. So I'm open to, is this just maybe who MJ is and he's been propped up by the talent around him? I'm open to that. But to the moment, I've got two good years of MJ Emerson versus this guy we're seeing right now.
So, like, the debate isn't necessarily whether or not MJ Emerson is still good or isn't good. The idea that sound that I'm trying to stress here is that a known football guy that covers the league and does everything around the league, in our eyes, MJ Emerson might as well have been Jesus Christ on the football field. Like, he's just awesome. He's this. He's that. Everyone knows who he is. But, like, the league doesn't know him.
Well, no. I think Matthew Collar doesn't know them. Because I will say, like, I think now we're getting into kind of a nuanced part here. I think people paid a lot of attention to Dwan last year. I think people paid a lot of attention to MJ Emerson. Brian Baldinger is one of the guys who's been like, you guys, the rest of the league is missing out on MJ Emerson. I think part of this is the Browns haven't been good for back-to-back seasons, and that's how you know guys that aren't Myles Garrett or JOK. But to your point, I do think even guys like MJ Emerson and Dwan Jones, I no longer know if you're going to be the supplemented part of the core or not. 216-474-0092. Is talent the Browns' problem? Lima's been all over this for a minute, and at the fact that I can't answer definitively doesn't make me feel great.
Well, let's talk about some of the drop-offs then that you mentioned there, because like Dwan, MJ, there's a couple other players we can bring into the equation that you do now. You went from a check plus to now we're in that kind of muddy territory. Like, mm-hmm. is that actually, is MJ Emerson something that when Andrew Berry goes to the table and says, here's all the success I've had, does he bring MJ Emerson's name into the mix? Does he bring Dwan Jones' name into the mix? If he was trying to do a defense for his job, does he count that as a check plus?
Yeah, he probably does. The problem is it might lead to him unintentionally throwing somebody under the bus who right now he is tied at the hip with, at least publicly, and that's Kevin Stefanski. Because I think, okay, are we talented? Or because if you don't think this is a talent issue, then you think it's a coaching issue. And I will say, the fact that I don't definitively know either way, with what, 8 games to go in a lost season?
Is that the problem?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make me feel great. But we got that. Obviously, guys can get to at Nick Wilson Says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We got Danny Green, former Cavs former Cavalier, and now NBA analyst joining us at 3. We'll get his thoughts on where the Cavs are. The too good, too early conversation that I've seen on social media, but I don't think I've actually seen any NBA analyst sink their teeth into. We've also got Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, at 4. We'll ask him about this Saints game and what it represents for the Browns. Daryl Ryder coming up at 6 o'clock. We've got quick hits at 2:40. We've got bandwagons at 5:40. All the things today, but 216-474-0092. Is talent the Browns' main problem? We've got that, and where I think JP wants to go. I don't know it's an out, but I think it is a defense of Kevin Stefanski. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.